Like when I pulled my pants down and squatted, they had all jumped in my underwear, is what it was like.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I pulled. So
they just partied. They partied in your underwear.
They partied in my underwear, and I was just covered with sugar bites. It was, it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of misery.
Welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast, where we discuss the journey to real liberty through self-sufficiency, counter-economics, non-aggression, and the agora.
The Outpost represents the border between societal norm and the pioneer spirit. Every episode contains practical, philosophical, and technical information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. I am your host, Regina, and I am here with my co-host, Cyrus.
Good morning. I always say good morning.
Yes, you do. You always say good morning.
Because we record in the morning, but some people might be listening in the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, and half the time I can't even get it to, you know, I can't even get up early enough to put it out in the morning.
Maybe I should stop saying good morning. Okay. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Now you're English. Top of the morning to ya.
Morning, governor.
Morning, governor. So today, I'm so excited because it's our final pillar, off-grid pillar 7. And we will be discussing waste management systems.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with your crap?
I think, what do you do with your dookie? So, it's so important. I think it's a perfect episode to wrap up this system, the off-grid series we have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the end, you know, and your waste is the end of whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You've reached the end point of your garbages, your gray water, your black water, and how do you deal with it?
Right on.
Yeah. But before we go into that, I just want to give a quick plug to our latest ebook that we wrote. Yeah, it is How to Make Moonshine from Start to Finish, a Beginner's Guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been thinking about getting into moonshining, this is the book.
This will get you there from start to finish. And really, I'm kind of the ghostwriter in this situation because you are the moonshine expert.
Mm.
So you go over all the nuances, the science, the art behind making moonshine, everything you need. You'll have a materials checklist all the way down to going through each and every step clearly, concisely, to the point, one point of information. You get it all in one foul swoop, easy.
Yeah, at least for the beginner level.
Yeah.
The downside to just Googling how to make moonshine or YouTubing how to make moonshine is that there's a lot of really kind of complicated parts if you really want to get into it. But if you're a beginner, it doesn't have to be all that complicated. And so if you're just Googling it, you have to sift through all this information that is not only just above your head at that time, but unnecessary to get started. And so that's what this book is. Yep. It's just the information you need to get started. And then later, if you really want to get into the full depth of what it can be, you can learn more later. Plus, there's a little bonus section at the end if you're interested in selling it, you know, to help you get going with that.
Yeah, there's a little counter-economics bonus section at the end of how to sell moonshine safely and discreetly. Some tips and hacks there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a great book. It's a great book. I suggest that you go ahead and get it. It's at theoffgridoutpost.com under Cool Products.
Because it's cool.
It's cool. It's so cool. You could be a badass moonshiner.
Yeah.
Awesome. But you know, really in general, knowing how to still is a very, very advantageous skill to have. Because you can make alcohol, like antiseptic alcohol, for a shit hit the fan scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it to trade and barter in some sort of post-apocalyptic situation where our dollar has crashed. Mm-hmm. It's a renewable resource. There's really a lot of good reasons why everyone should know how to still.
Right. And it's the same equipment if you want to make essential oils, medicines, yes, different kinds of tinctures and things like that. Very valuable skill.
It really is. And you can get a small still. You don't have to do a 30-gallon deal. You can get a small tabletop hobby still, mm-hmm, and make your medicinal tinctures, make your oils, make your rubbing alcohols, and make shine as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on with the show.
Back to the crap. Yeah. So first, you've got your household waste, and this is going to include your garbage, your cooking scraps, mm-hmm, everything you would throw in your trash can, you know, your kitchen trash can or your bathroom trash can or whatever. That's all just household waste.
And yeah. What do you do with all of that? We make a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you become more and more self-sufficient, you kind of have less garbage because you're buying less things from the store, which are all in packages. So that's good. Mm-hmm. But if you're in an area where you have access to recycling plants, you can recycle glass, plastic, aluminum, all of that kind of stuff. But some places, like here, the only real recyclables we have are aluminum cans.
I want to make a notable point really quick about recycling. And mm-hmm, I think a lot of people don't know this. If you're recycling plastic, it's going right into the landfill.
Oh, really?
There's no more. Yes, plastic recycling is dead. And it's not something they want to really put out there in the mainstream media.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So, basically, China used to buy all of our plastics. And what they do is they take all of our plastics and they make it into like a plastic pellet to where it can be reused. So in the glory days of recycling, which I want to say was from probably the mid-90s to, I think it all kind of came to a stop in between 2015 and 2017. So there was a good almost 2-decade run of profitable plastic recycling. Well, what happened is China stopped buying our plastics because China started creating their own emerging first-class
consumer economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now they're making more than enough of their own plastics to meet the need of recycling, and they just got overburdened with all of Americans' plastic shit. Because we go through so much of it. We make so much of it. All this plastic waste. They're like, we're not buying your plastic shit anymore, America. We've got more than enough of our own. So then, that dissolved a huge market for plastics. Losing China. So now it is not profitable for recyclers to recycle American plastic. So when you throw your plastic water bottle into the recycling bin, it is not going. It is not being recycled.
Huh. Well, that's kind of a bummer.
It was a sad fact when I came across it.
Yeah. So you might as well just throw it in the garbage.
There's really no point to recycle plastic. All it does, all they do, and you can find shots of it on the internet in images, is you'll see the dump trucks dumping the plastic bottles at the landfill.
Hmm.
Out of recycled dump trucks.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. So you're going through all this effort, separating your plastics out, rinsing them. Don't even bother. Just throw it in the bin. What you can bother to do is use less plastic. That's where the winning strategy is for that.
Right.
I think it is the last statistic I looked up. The amount of plastic that is actually recycled in America, I want to say, is 2%.
That's probably still a lot of
plastic. It's really low. 2% is a lot. So, but just think about it. 98% of what we throw in the recyclable plastic bin is sent to the landfill. So, sorry to burst your bubble that you think you're saving the environment because you're recycling your plastic. It's not happening.
Wow. Okay, so...
Yeah, wrap your mind around that for a minute.
Right. Well, you can still recycle aluminum. So that's
yes.
good.
Yes, aluminum and glass, cardboard, paper. But paper's tricky. It can't be slick paper. It's got to be matte.
Yeah, most of my paper just gets burnt, especially in the wintertime. Because with a wood stove, it's just free heat.
Yeah, so you're not just burning it in a burn pile. You're reusing your papers and cardboards for your wood stove for heating.
Yeah.
I just want to, I have to make one more quick note because it's just a super weird fact and I just want to plug this in here.
Throw it in.
They have recently found in landfills, they have recently found a new bacteria that's never been identified that is eating plastic.
Mother Earth doing what she does.
Exactly. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
So we're all worried. It's like we're all sad because our plastics are not getting recycled and they're ending up in the landfill. Well, just recently this year, they have discovered the plastic-eating natural bacteria, turning plastics into like an organic sludge.
Good job, Mama Earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing it.
So there's happy ending.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
So now the scientists are trying to harness this plastic-eating bacteria so they can create this whole new biosystem of dissolving our plastic problems. So just want that's on the horizon, everybody, so don't worry.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a sci-fi movie come out in a few years that based around the premise of plastic-eating organisms attacking humankind.
Yeah, it could turn in... Well, that's... Yeah, it's got to end up in a... Somehow, a big monster arises out of the gloop and...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, what was it? The Blob. Oh, my gosh. Blob. That movie was scary.
The Blob.
Did you watch The Blob?
Yeah, I think I did.
I think it was scary. I was young when I saw it. Okay, so... all blobs aside, paper, use it in your wood stove, use it in your wood-fired water heater. Like, that's what you do, right? You have a wood-fired water heater?
I do, yeah. Burn a lot of paper.
Cool.
Burnable things that don't stink when you burn them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
The stinky level of burning stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I don't like it when people around me burn trash. But I'm an anarchist, so it's their thing. It's their land. They get to do what they want.
Yeah, it just offends your nostrils, so.
Right.
I don't know if that counts as a violent act.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think burning trash is the best choice.
But it is your choice.
But it is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you know... Now, burning your yard waste is kind of different.
Yeah, it doesn't stink. I kind of like the smell of leaves burning.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But burning trash, eh. We actually stayed at an RV park where they had a burn barrel. So every once in a while, they'd light this burn barrel up with trash, and it just reeked to all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you really, if you're running an RV park, is that really, you know, that's just not a good idea. But I get it. Yeah, you gotta do, you're gonna do what you're gonna do. But
right.
I'm paying to stay there and I have to smell your stinky burn barrel. It's just not down with that.
Right. Can't you have a dumpster?
It's not. Yeah. And it's just not good for the environment either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for us, the way we've gotten rid of our garbage for a long time is I just haul it to town. And I find some dumpster. Holy cow.
Oh, did you hear that bike go by?
Yeah.
That was a bike. I'm almost positive that was a loud, very loud muffler bike.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're tearing it up. Loud mufflers save lives, right? Isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're illegally dumping? That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I was sneaking my trash into someone else's dumpster for a long time.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my God, that's kind of funny. And then I imagine you guys don't make much waste.
No, we really don't. And then I found a guy who will haul trash for people out here, and it's like $17 a month. Stupid cheap, so that's what we do
that's
now.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can do that. You can pay somebody if you're out there. There might be someone who hauls trash for people. And if there's not, you might consider starting that little agorism business.
Oh, yeah. That'd make a great counter-economics business.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a truck.
Yeah, this guy just has what looks like old U-Haul moving trucks. And they just throw it in the back, and I guess they haul it to the dump.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would just have to make sure to stick to a schedule. You
know, right.
Be on time and do your daily or your weekly pickup.
Yeah, you've got to give good
service. You
probably
make a good chunk of coin for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many customers he has, but he comes around every Wednesday and picks it up. So that's good for me, good for him.
Well, and you don't have to deal with anyone, really.
Yeah, right.
You just throw their trash in the back of your U-Haul and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like dealing with people so much, I mean, you'd have to deal with them to an extent, but on a daily basis, you're pretty much on your own.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
There's also trash incinerators that you can buy, and they do such a good job of burning the trash that there's not a smell. You know, it's almost like a rocket stove. It just burns smoke and everything. You can also build them. There's lots of plans online and YouTube videos on how to make your own incinerator.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think of, the funeral home when it comes to incinerators.
Yeah, I don't
but
think they're
I suppose
that
you could build
elaborate.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you need it to be that elaborate. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little DIY incinerator project to burn the quote-unquote trash.
Right.
Right? You're just burning trash.
It's just trash.
Officer. Yeah. Also, what I like to do, and it'll make your main trash way less stinky, is to compost your table scraps. So, basically, anything organic that is non-meat associated. So you cannot compost bones, dairy products, fats, things like that. You don't want to compost those because they'll make your compost bin stinky and rotty and it'll attract vermin. As long as you stick with vegetable matters, you can also put some breads, crackers, things like that into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually use a little bit of paper because you have this balance of what they call green matter and brown matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the relationship between the two that creates the heat in the compost bin. So you have layers of green matter, brown matter being your papers, things like that, your yard waste, and green matter being your table scraps.
Yeah.
And if you get the balance right, you can have beautiful compost fertilizer within 6 weeks.
Homemade
That's a little
dirt.
Ambitious, though. It's been taking me about 3 months. Two to 3 months is probably more accurate, but you could do 6 weeks.
Yeah. And, there's other ways, too. And there's ways for those, that meat matter and the fats, there's other things you can do. We've talked about the methane digester before. You can put that in there. Well, one thing we haven't talked about is a lot of people who have chickens, there's a way for you to farm maggots with meat, and the chickens, so the maggots just clean up all the meat and the chickens clean up all the maggots.
Oh, that's a really good
idea.
So
you're feeding your chickens also.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good little loop to set up.
Right. Completely closed system.
Well, and with your fats, you can separate your fats and make tallow. You can make lard. And with that, there's all sorts of uses for for tallow.
Mm-hmm.
You can make candles, you can make soap. So every single thing you create as waste can be somehow repurposed, reused, recycled, or dissolved into the earth, except for plastic is the tough one.
Yeah.
But with plastic, you can choose to just reduce your consumption, which is what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, so that pretty much covers the household waste. That'll move us right on into human waste.
Dookie!
The dookie.
The dookie!
Mm-hmm.
This is like my favorite subject.
Yeah, so when we
I don't know why.
Dookie's your favorite subject.
Kind of. I'm kind of slightly obsessed with dookies. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Just the process, the digestion process, going through your intestines and, you know, all that is pretty fascinating to me.
All right, then.
Yeah. It's important to your health. It's really probably one of the most important keys to health is having a strong digestive system.
Having a good dookie factory?
Yes. I have an excellent one, by the way.
That's wonderful.
It's very reliable.
That's good.
But, you know, I eat lots of fiber. I eat lots of roughage, beans, whole grains to really keep my system flowing. So I have a very healthy system, ecosystem.
Good deal.
Okay, so what do we do with our dookies?
Well, when we started here, we just had an outhouse that worked.
Right.
Downside to that is, you know, it's outside. It's away from the house. So you wake up in the morning, you got to go, and it's really cold. It's middle of winter and trudge through the snow to get to the outhouse. That's no fun. But, you know, simple to get going.
Well, and I want to specify that there are the more modern day outhouses that rely on water and liquid. But back in the day, outhouses were a hole in the ground. And what you do is you sprinkle lye onto the waste in the hole in the ground and it eats it away and it doesn't really smell.
Yeah.
And you can make your own homemade lye. It's quite easy with dead leaves and water, and it goes into a bucket and it slowly drips out as lye. It's a whole DIY system. There's a little bit more to it than just that.
Yeah, I've never heard of doing it with leaves, but I have heard of doing it with wood ash.
Yeah, I think it's a layer of leaves and a layer of wood ash, now that I think about it. I haven't read about it in a while. I think you're right with that. I think there's wood ash involved and then a layer of like hay or leaves underneath the wood ash, something along those lines. Lye is very caustic and it will burn the crap out of you. So if you do a DIY lye, just be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you also make soap. So you can set up a lye system, make your own lye, set up an outhouse, dig a hole. How deep do you think the hole should be?
It doesn't have to be all that deep, just a couple of feet.
Yeah. Sprinkle a little lye in there. Once you top off the hole, cover it up, move your outhouse, and you're done.
Yeah. And then you can use a compost toilet, which is kind of the next step up from the outhouse. And that's real simple.
Yeah.
And it can be as simple as just a 5-gallon bucket where you put one of those toilet seat lids on it and you just use that and you cover your dookie with sawdust. And
yep.
That works real. We've been doing that for a while.
And it doesn't stink. That's what's really amazing.
Yeah.
Is the liquid, like water, when you start mixing water with human waste, that's where it really starts to stink.
Yeah, that's the part that stinks. So,
yeah.
But, like, we don't separate the water out. And so, but it doesn't really start to stink until it starts to get full and it's time to dump it anyway. So,
yeah.
You don't really have to worry about it. But I have this place on our property that I'm using our waste from our compost toilet, and I'm building a berm that I'll add organic material to it, like branches and brush when I cut trees and things like that, and building a berm that mm-hmm. catches all the runoff from our hill, which captures topsoil as it's running down the hill so that it doesn't get washed away. And then it all decomposes. It doesn't stink out there at all. And then at some point, that berm will be finished, and I'll plant a fruit tree there, and it'll have a lifetime of nice, good nutrients, and I'll start a berm somewhere else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, and you can compost human dookie, and it makes a really hot fertilizer.
Everybody's poo can be dirt someday.
Yeah, there's a system, though. I haven't researched it heavily, but there's a system to make sure you make the right ratio. It's always about the ratios and the microorganisms and things. And then it just turns into a really hot fertilizer, so you don't want to burn your plants too heavily with it.
Huh.
But you don't separate your pee out of your composting toilet, and you don't have a problem with it?
No. As it starts to fill up, like I said, when it's time to empty the bucket, it starts to stink then. And that's usually when I'll dump it.
Yeah. So when you buy a manufactured composting toilet, it actually does separate the pee out
right.
into a container, and then you just dump that container. Right. That would be the biggest difference between a DIY and a manufactured one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely sure how that mechanism works, and you could probably build a DIY one with a pee separator.
Yeah, there's actually
and
a company
then you put
that,
a...
There's actually a company that sells pee separators that you can add to a DIY composting toilet.
Really? So it makes it easy.
Yeah, they're out of the UK, I think.
Hmm. Just that component in itself. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would personally do. And then I know with the manufactured composting toilet, you add peat moss into the barrel where the poo's collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks it down. There's a whole system to it. I actually wrote an article about composting toilet systems explained. It's a very thorough article on MaximumOffGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I really get into it, and I totally, went down the rabbit hole of composting toilets. But I don't really remember it because it's been so long since I wrote it.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the mechanisms, but you could read all about it there.
Yeah.
The downside to manufactured composting toilets is they're quite expensive.
Yeah, a couple $100 usually, right?
Oh, no. Like a really good one, like the Del Mar or the, what's the other brand? I forget. They're like $1,200 freaking.
Holy cow. Yeah. Yeah, I'll poop in a bucket.
Well, there's one model that has a tray that catches the pee, and it heats up the pee slowly so it evaporates. Yeah, that's the expensive model.
So you don't even have to dump the little pee reservoir.
Yeah, it has an evaporation tray, which is kind of handy. And to bust another myth, and you kind of touched on this, composting toilets do not stink, especially if you separate out your liquid.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really, they might have a minor smell, but nothing like you're thinking in your head.
Yeah, we add cedar sawdust to ours. It doesn't stink at all. And I get the cedar sawdust free from the sawmill.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
You know it does stink? Bad.
What's that?
RV Blackwater. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's really the most toxic, nastiest, And so when you live in an RV park, it's just a natural whiff you get when people drain their tanks and when people unhook and rehook up. So you almost get kind of used to it, but dang, it's horrible. Ugh.
It's that sludgy slime, decomposing soap residue and stuff like that, isn't it?
Well, okay, for one, gray water stinks bad as mm-hmm. well. But your gray water, typically you keep your gray water valve open on an RV. We don't shut our reservoir. So it just washes, and every once in a while we'll close it and kind of let it, build up and wash out. The black water, you keep your black water valve closed, you got a 30-gallon black water tank, takes about a week to fill up. And so everything is just digesting in your black water tank. And so it's really the most vile of
Oh, I see what you're saying. I wasn't paying close enough attention. That's all right. I wasn't paying close enough attention when you started talking about that. You had said black water, and in my head I was thinking gray water. I don't know why.
Oh, the gray water stinks too, though.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Gray water stinks. So if you can get away from using water in your human waste system, I think you're just better off. It's better off for reducing water usage. It's better off for really the environment. And it's better off for just smell. You know, if you can get away from it, I would suggest it.
Yeah.
And then the final thing you can do with your waste, which I do frequently, is just shit in the woods.
Yeah. That's the easiest solution.
Yeah. Just dig a cat hole. I think they recommend, the Boy Scouts say 6 inches down. Cover it up, and now you're just attributing to the environment.
Yeah. You've left your mark.
Yep.
Cover it up.
But again, in the middle of the night, and it's cold, it's, you know, maybe not so comfortable, but...
Yeah, or when the chiggers are bad.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had that experience
once. Have yet... Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. I was working on a project.
How'd that go?
It was... Oh, my God, it was awful. I was working on a project out in the middle of nowhere, and there was no facilities. And so I was pooping in the woods, and I'm working through the day, and I start getting itchy, you know, my ass, my crotch, everything. I'm getting itchy.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what in the world? And I just keep working, you know, because I'm on the job. You just keep going. And I get home,
right.
and I take my clothes off, and like they had, like when I pulled my pants down and squatted, they had all jumped in my underwear, is what it was like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so I pulled. So
they just partied. They partied in your underwear.
They partied in my underwear, and I was just covered with sugar bites. It was it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of misery. It was terrible.
That sounds so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. I have yet to encounter a chigger, so I've heard they're awful.
Spawn of Satan. Worse than mosquito, in my opinion. The mosquito bite. It's way worse, because...
Yeah, I've had mosquitoes bite my ass when I've been shitting in the woods, and, you know, it sucks, but you get over that, you know, fairly quickly. But a chigger bite? Ugh, a bunch of them? So, yeah, as far as, you know, where you squat to dookie is a big thing. So you squatted in a chigger nest.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad.
That was bad.
That was bad. And, you know, squatting in, like, poison oak or poison ivy would also be bad.
Correct.
So, just be mindful. Squatting on a rattlesnake is one of my biggest concerns. Especially if you're squatting by rocks. Mosquitoes aren't as bad. But when you get a swarm of mosquitoes around your ass, it kind of sucks. So, you can use bug spray.
Mm-hmm.
To help deter that. And then, what you wipe with also is important.
Yeah.
Just things to think about when you squat. My personal favorite for wiping is a smooth river rock. Okay. It's actually, it works really well.
Okay. I've never tried that.
And then if they're warmed up by the sun, it feels really good.
Okay.
I have squatted in the woods a lot, okay? Can you tell?
Gotcha.
So a smooth river rock is your best bet because it's porous, it's smooth, it absorbs moisture, and you don't have to worry about, you know, if you pull some noxious plant and, you know, you have a bad reaction.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No. Another option is a lamb's ear. It's like a soft, large-leafed plant that grows that you can wipe with, and also, I want to call it moline.
Yeah, moline. Yeah,
that has a nice, large, soft leaf you can wipe with.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say it's kind of itchy. I haven't tried moline. I just stick with rocks. Okay, do you have anything else to add to the dookie system?
I have nothing left to add about dookie.
Okay, well then we can roll on to how to handle gray water.
Yeah, so gray water is one of those things where, you know, if you have an off-grid septic system, if you can avoid putting your gray water into that system, your system is going to last much longer. your septic system. And so if you can separate your gray water from your black water, that's good. And plus, gray water is easily, you know, filtered and cleaned for irrigation uses. You can have it running into a small, like, goldfish pond or whatever, you know, decorative pond or regular pond. Or once you filter it, it can be used in your garden. And you're really just trying to filter out the sludgy crud that you use, you know, when you're washing dishes and washing your hair and all of that.
Yeah, fats, oils, particles, things like that. So then you don't want to apply gray water directly onto plants, but you do want to have a filtration system, and then you can water your garden with it, correct?
Yeah, it's just basically, though, it's not a big deal. Like, you can have a container, like a Walmart tub that's filled with gravel and biomatter, like wood chips, and the water can be running from your house into that, and then from that into another container that's large gravel up to smaller gravel, and then one more time in the next container, so that it's a three-stage process. You can plant plants in that third system, and it can be, like I said, tubs that you could do it in. You can dig a trench and then line that trench with like a pool liner, pond liner, and then fill that trench with gravel, and then you can grow things in it.
Interesting.
And there's lots of different designs out there. Again, go to the Google or the YouTube.
YouTuber University.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would make sense that you'd want to at least set up a decent filtration system to get out all the goop. And gray water is, just in case everyone's on the same page, gray water is your water from basically your kitchen, your shower water, and your sink water. It's everything but the toilet.
Right.
It's gray water. Just so everyone's on the same page of the gray water versus black water.
Right.
Yeah. Out here in Arizona, water's pretty precious, so we would want to set up a gray water catchment system, filtration system, and reuse it for sure.
Yeah. And if you want the best information, in my opinion, about gray water recycling systems, go to the Earthship websites, because they're people that are doing Earthships have really got into recycling gray water.
That's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
This would be kind of the marsh system, where you set up a marshy growing environment, am I understanding
that
correct?
You can do it that way. And then that can lead into a pond system where you're growing fish, which can be part of the aquaponics.
Tilapia.
Yeah, which can end up being part of an aquaponics system. There's a lot of uses and a lot of ways to plug that gray water filtration into your different systems.
Yeah, I would like to do that. I think it's all very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cool thing about going off-grid and being self-sufficient is you also build sustainable environment where you are using way less waste. You're repurposing your waste. You're blending in more into nature of how it used to be. So, in the name of sustainability, which is a big thing right now, managing your waste, not just chucking it into the landfill, not just plopping it into the sewage system. It really helps us in that department, just as a human species as a whole.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm not some like granola eating hippie, you know, save the world mentality, but I do like reincorporating back into our environment more.
Yeah, and from just a purely selfish perspective, closed loop systems are better for you. They're better for you because once you've set them up, it requires less energy on your part. requires mm-hmm. Less input from the outside. So, yeah.
And it's free.
And it's free. It's free, good all around.
Once you set it up.
Right.
Cool. Well, that was quite an interesting episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. One of my favorite off-grid topics is what to do with your shit.
Right.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to bookmark our podcast and leave a rating. It helps us get found in the algorithms. Go ahead and visit theoffgridoutpost.com. We've got product recommendations. We have ebooks. We have an archive of all of our podcasts. Any purchases you make on our website really helps us continue this journey. We appreciate all the support. And you can always email us at cyrus@theoffgridoutpost.com or regina@offgridoutpost.com with questions, comments. You can leave a comment directly on our episode page on the website, too.
Here's a little teaser for what's coming next week. There.
So that's all
Even
good.
Even if you're not awesome. Doing it yourself,
well,
but you're supporting
tune in next
them by
time, and
their
we will
items,
catch you later.
That helps
Talk to you later.
Grow the Agora. The more people that get involved in it, the more accepted it becomes, the larger that market gets. And at some point when the government comes in and says you can't do this anymore, if there's enough people doing it already, they can't stop it.
Thanks for listening to the Off-Grid Outpost podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe so you can get all the new episodes.